Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Justin Fields injured. Tyson Bagent, the undrafted rookie, yet to take an NFL snap. He played at Division II Shepherd University of West Virginia, and now he will come on here to pilot this Bears offense.
Yeah, and you listen to quarterbacks that have come in situations like this. Sometimes they say it's better. You don't have a build-up all week long. Sometimes you just go in there, play naturally. Don't get caught up. Don't get nervous. Just go ball.
Here's his first NFL pass, and it is a completion to Velus Jones. Quick pitch and catch on the outside.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
About to hear from Tyson Bagent in just a second, but it is Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. Obviously, I'm going to be hanging out with you till 5 o'clock, taking your phone calls, playing you guys some audio from the game. And then Dustin Rhodes kicks everything off at 5 o'clock with the pregame show. Of course, following him, Mullion Hall, going to be taking care of you. Olin Kruch is jumping on with the fellas at 7 a.m. Olin does a phenomenal job in the postgame. If you're ever out in the roads and just driving home from the game, like, his insight, first of all, he's super passionate about the Bears. And his knowledge and what he sees is just different than what you see. It's just different. Got a guy that's, you know, played the center position for the Bears, So, great stuff. He'll be on at 7 o'clock breaking down the game with Mullion Hall. DJ Moore, Chicago Bears wide receiver. What is he going to say after he went from NFC Player of the Week to 2 targets, 1 catch in the first half of this game? Made no sense. He'll be on 8 o'clock with Mullion Hall, and then Brad Biggs, big time. 9 a.m. to round out the show for Mullion Hall. And then Bernstein and Holmes, they continue it. The train continues to choo-choo with Anthony Aaron at 11, and then Dan Weeder at 12. Parkins and Spiegel, they come on afterwards. I was just doing TV with Spiegel tonight. He and Danny have Kurt Warner at 2:40, Mark Grody at 4 o'clock, and then Jalen Johnson, a guy who had, you know, and KJ Osborne had a couple of catches, but Jalen Johnson, I felt like, was all over the place. The Vikings had a lot of drops, and Jalen Johnson was most certainly the cornerback that was covering a lot of those receivers when those drops happened. I know I shouldn't be yawning, my bad. But again, a lot of stuff to talk about. Make sure you guys are here. Download the Odyssey app. Keep it on the score all day long so we can keep you updated on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday. And most certainly, everyone is going to be talking about QB2. Tyson Bagent. What did he have to say after his first taste of NFL action? Here it is right now on the score.
Tyson, on the interception at the end, what did you see there? What were you trying to get done? Obviously, DJ singled up there.
Yeah, kind of just like what you said, DJ Moore, one of the best receivers in the world, you know, one-on-one, anytime, you know, we can get that, we like it, underthrew it there a little bit, and, you know, that's on me, and that's something that, you know, I got to fix going forward.
Is that a result of depression?
No, I think that's just a result of me, you know, underthrowing the ball, got to give my guy a chance, and, you know, note that, watch the film, and correct it for next week.
Was there any talk with you and Luke if you're here about waiting for the 2-minute warning in that situation? Did you guys want to get that checked?
No, there was no communication of that. You know, we're, you know, operating well on that drive. We're doing a good job of moving the ball, both in the run game and pass game. So kind of want to keep things rolling and, you know, not give the defense time to, you know, get a break and re-rally up.
How different was this than the preseason game?
Yeah, it's different. A lot more, you know, you don't pressure as much in the preseason just because you want to see guys, you know, play fast and do their specific job. But, you know, football is football. Football field's the same size, 11 on 11. You're either going to throw the ball or pass the ball. So, you know, I thought it was, you know, similar, but, you know, different with the different pressures that they were showing.
How did you feel coming out of the first game, first regular season game, throwing in a pinch like that? How did you feel? How many butterflies? Confident? Were you apprehensive? Talk to me about how you felt going in.
Yeah, excited. You know, I playing football is my job, so I enjoy playing football. So I was excited to get out there. Obviously, you know, butterflies. You're playing in front of so many people, and you know the stakes are high. You know, in the NFL, but felt really prepared. Felt like the coaches did a good job of, you know, always preparing all the quarterbacks. You know, week in and week out, just because it's always one play away. So felt good, felt prepared, and you know, excited. Say it again. He was good. Yeah, he was good. You know, asked me how I was, told him I was good, and that was the extent of it.
Tyson, can you take us through the strip sack?
Yeah, so a little bit of miscommunication, but at the end of the day, I got to keep two hands on the ball. I got to protect the ball. That's, you know, a big job of mine, you know, when I'm out there. So got to keep two hands on the ball and be more efficient in that area.
When you come to the sideline after a strip sack, touchdown in your first drive, how in the world do you reset?
You just got to play the next play. That's something that has always been preached to me. And, you know, it'll do you no good kind of harping on, you know, the pass or the last play. We got to, you know, think forward, move forward. And, you know, we had a game to, you know, try and win. So there wasn't really any time to sit back and think about that.
How did you feel to get in the end zone?
I felt good. You know, always a dream for every young kid, every young football player to play in the NFL. So the fact that I was able to, you know, make it here, get in the end zone, it felt good. Felt good.
So when were you aware that the center change was happening, and what did Lucas bring for you there?
Say it again.
When were you aware that the center change was happening, and what did Lucas bring for you there?
Yeah, both times when I initially got in, I took snaps with Cody. Second drive going in, took snaps with Lucas. Felt really comfortable with both those guys, and I think everybody, the offense as a whole, did a good job, you know, having my back and rallying around me and, you know, making me feel good, you know, while I was in. So I appreciated that.
Have you predominantly taken more snaps from one or the other in practice, just being with the twos? Who are you taking snaps from?
I do a good job mixing it up. You know, more times than not, I'm taking scout team reps with neither of those guys. But I make sure that, you know, everybody, you know, each center kind of snaps it a little bit different, especially under center. In the gun, it's kind of, you know, it's pretty similar. But make sure I mix it up, getting under center snaps throughout the week and in pregame with all those guys.
I know that most teams don't practice with their backups a whole lot during the week. How many snaps do you have in practice that work with the scout team this week?
You know, a handful whenever Justin has a long play, or he needs to communicate about something that happened on the last play, you know, they'll throw me in there. But, most of the time, you know, it's Justin's show and, you know, we let him get as prepared as he possibly can for the week coming.
A lot of guys describe you as cool, calm, and collected. Is there anything you do to steady your nerves in these anxious moments, or is that just something sad?
I think it just comes from, kind of not being okay until I have the game plan down. So kind of, you know, putting the pressure on myself to get everything down, understand, you know, what's going on in the game and what my operation needs to be. And then after that, it just all comes down to playing football and playing fast. So I'd say that's where it comes from.
How are you moving forward? If you're QB1 next week, how confident are you getting this team to a victory?
Yeah, I'm, you know, obviously very confident in myself, and, you know, nothing changes for me. You know, since day one, I've been preparing as if I was going to play the whole game. That's just, you know, how I kind of approach the game. I like to know what's going on at all times, so nothing really is going to change for this week. Back to the drawing board, get ready for Vegas this coming week.
Tyson, even though, you know, composure is a big part of your game, but this has to be a little bit of a whirlwind for you this whole day. What is the prevailing emotion you're feeling right now after a game like this, that you're just playing, getting in, good things, bad things, everything? What is the prevailing emotion you're feeling after a day like today?
you know, I think more than anything, just wanting a couple of those plays back, obviously would have liked a different outcome in the game. I think after you kind of process and think about that, just extremely grateful for, you know, the life I've been blessed with. You know, not a lot of people get to do what I do and win in victory or defeat. So, you know, I'm just, you know, super thankful for my family, super thankful for, you know, all my past relationships that helped me get to this moment. But, you know, first we, you know, like to get back to the drawing board and get a couple of those plays back and correct it, you know, for next week.
And that's exactly what he's going to have to do. Tyson Bagent right there talking to the media. So much stuff I want to say. So much stuff I want to say because you just... Bears. Bears are going to Bears. Somebody called in earlier. Who was it, Nita? So why do you guys keep doing this to yourselves? You know the Bears are going to Bears, so why do you do this? It's because we're loyal, and here we are. Tyson Bagent came in third quarter, about 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. And I just want to go over, you know, his drives from there. I'll spend a little time going over the drives of Tyson Bagent. So he comes in. First play. Is that what that was? No, Tyson Bagent's first play was a pass, right? I'm almost positive about that.
Yeah, the one on the sideline to Tyler Scott.
That's what I thought. But I'm looking at this drive log here. And it's saying that it was a run. On their own 17. Rushed. Dante Foreman rushed to the left for 2 yards. Dante Foreman rushed for 8 yards. And then there was a pass interference penalty. Then it was Tyson Bagent pass to Darnell Mooney. Then pass to DJ Moore for 2 yards. That's what it was, the second and one. Oh, my God. This is bad. Bad play calling. Oh, I see. You're right. Yes. Fumble touchdown. Forgot about that one. Oh, this just hurts my soul to relive this. So Tyson Bagent comes in with 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Excuse me, guys. Let's pick this back up. Because I have some complaints about the coaching and the play calling and trying to put your guys, especially your rookie, undrafted rookie quarterback, in the best position to win. Bears defense gets a 3-and-out in the third quarter. To start the second half, it was a 3-and-out. Bears get the ball, 5 plays, and another 3-and-out. Bears defense doing their job in the second half. Obviously, Justin Fields gets out the game, 8 minutes left to go. First down, literally first down for Tyson Bagent. First snap of a regular season game in the NFL. They have him throwing the ball. Yeah, it was complete, sure. But you know, most times when like they say, oh, well, it worked, so you think I'm a genius in that moment. No, I don't. How can you call a pass on his first play? Then the second play. Run to the right, Darrington Evans, 6 yards. Third play, another pass, which Tyson Bagent ends up getting sacked for a 10-yard loss, fumbling, and Jordan Hicks recovering the ball, who, by the way, Jordan Hicks was celebrating his 32nd birthday today, or yesterday. Happy birthday, Papa. But the problem there, do we not see it? You called pass plays on two of his first 3 plays in the NFL. A guy that's going up against the defense that just sacked your starting quarterback on the first play of the game. Twice on the first drive. And you thought it was a good idea to build this confidence by having him throw twice? 2 out of the first 3 plays? Makes zero sense to me.
They were not reacting well to the Vikings blitzing at all during the game.
And they still thought it was a good idea to call a pass play there. The score was 12-6 at the time. Very much within striking distance for the Chicago Bears. Like, talk about crushing a guy's soul. Damn, do I belong here? Right? Think about the questions that come into one's mind at that point. Do I belong here? Damn, am I overwhelmed? Do I suck? Like, I don't know.
Deontay Foreman, do I belong here? Why am I not getting the ball more?
I just ran for 7 yards. It's 2nd and 1. What is going on here? So two of the first three passes for Tyson Bagent. Or excuse me, 2 of the first 3 plays are passes. Don't understand that. Then Bears get the ball back again, obviously, because they scored a touchdown there. And on that 6-play drive, it doesn't get any better. The very next play, it does not get any better. First, he runs to the left with Dante Foreman. Oh, what an idea. Running the ball to let your quarterback feel a little comfort. Then Dante Foreman rushes again. No gain, but so what? So what if you this is what you should have done the first drive. Let it be boring. Let him get three snaps. So what if it's a three and out? The Vikings just had two of them. Two straight three and outs. So if the Bears have a three and out, so what? At least you give your undrafted rookie quarterback the opportunity to get his feet underneath them. Have some sort of level of confidence. Okay, this isn't that much different. Oh, okay, I can't hand off the ball to Dante Foreman. But you do it in the second drive. So you go Dante Foreman, third down, third and eight. You let him pass the ball. That's what you should do. Run, third and manageable. Doesn't that sound like a recipe for what your undrafted rookie quarterback who's coming in the middle of a game? That just seems right to me. I understand hindsight's 20/20, but that just seems right to me. So the pass interference call gets the Bears the first down. Tyson Bagent again is then tasked with throwing the ball again on first down. Passes to Darnell Mooney for a 9-yard gain. And now it's second and one. Let's live in this moment in real time for a second. He comes out for the first time. You go pass, run, pass. And he fumbles the ball for a defensive touchdown. You get the ball again. You go run, pass, and you get the first down. Then you go pass on first down again, straying away from whatever worked or whatever was getting you there. You're on second and one. Second and one. And instead of getting your undrafted rookie quarterback a first down so that the drive can continue, an easy first down, pick up the easy ones. How many times do we hear Luke Getsy say, yeah, Justin needs to take a lot of the easier throws, right? Pull up that cut for me. Try to find that one for me, Tyler Ferringo, who's producing today. I want to hear Luke Getsy tell me that Justin Fields needs to take the easy throw. Tell me in my face again. I cannot wait till we get this clip. Because what? What's good for the goose isn't good for the gander? It's second and one, and we don't take the easy way to get the first down? We want to get DJ Moore on a screen for the 2-yard loss? Because that's what happened. Now it's third and three, and instead of getting the ball against DJ Moore, you're in Minnesota's territory, so the assumption is you're going to go four downs anyway. Why not give him the ball? No, you throw another pass to Darnell Mooney. A nice little screen. Awesome. Incomplete pass. Then it's fourth and three, and you pass again. Talk about killing a young man's confidence. This is exactly what we're seeing. This is what the coaching staff is responsible for. Bears turn the ball over. And, of course, give Minnesota impeccable field position. Fortunately, they missed the field goal there. It was a 57-yarder. Defense, again, coming through. So, in the third quarter, the Bears' defense was playing at an unbelievable level. Three and out. Six plays, 16 yards. Missing a field goal. That was the third quarter of the Chicago Bears. Oh, my God. Actually, four out of the first five possessions for the Minnesota Vikings in the second half resulted in a three and out. I think we got to live there for a second. We got to praise the Chicago Bears defense. We know they played well. I kept talking about the intensity. Didn't give up any points in the second half. Let's be very clear. That was a defensive touchdown, so didn't give up any points in the second half. Four out of the five possessions were three and outs. Four out of the first five possessions. One of them was a six-play drive that resulted in a missed field goal. And the sixth possession for the Minnesota Vikings in the second half was the essentially where Kirk Cousins ended up taking a knee on fourth down because they milked the clock all the way down to the end. Great job by the defense of the Chicago Bears today in the second half. And unfortunate that the offense couldn't pull their weight. And I do blame it on the coaching. I do blame it on Luke Getsy and his inability to effectively execute a game plan. Tyson Bagent, 10 for 14 on the day. 83 yards, one interception. Justin Fields, 6 for 10 for 58. Embarrassing. Dante Foreman, 15 rushes, 65 yards. Looked well. looked great, averaging 4.3 a rush. And on second and one, third and three, fourth and three, said, nah, we're going to pass on Dante Foreman. The offensive line, you know, on the run game was looking good. Darrington Evans stepping in big, 9 rushes for 32 yards. Velus Jones Jr., 2 rushes for 15 yards. Had a nice little sweep. Are you equally as frustrated as I am? Phone lines are open right now. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Just curious, like, what are you the most frustrated about? The play calling like I was? The fact that Justin Fields regressed? The fact that DJ Moore had 1 catch in the first half after winning NFC Player of the Week, Offensive Player of the Week? A lot of frustration to go around. The fact that Coach Eberflus couldn't give us a straight answer as to why there was a switch at center in the middle of the game. We all know why. We saw it. But again, there's a lot of things to be frustrated about, and phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts, Bears fans? I'm working this overnight shift so we can chat. We'll take your calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local, for you. Overnights on 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez. It's all presented by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. A lot of stuff going on today. We're going to play a little bit of Olin Krutz and Lawrence Holmes today from the post game. Just listening to their immediate reaction is something that I most certainly wanted you guys to hear, because some great insight by Olin Krutz and Loho. And Lo did a great job filling in for Mully today. Got to say that as well. And, of course, Mully will be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go today. Olin Krutz is going to be hanging out with the guys at 7 a.m., DJ Moore at 8, and then Brad Biggs at 9. Then Loho will be on the air with Dan Bernstein today, talking to Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Reeder at 12. Parkins and Spiegel got a nice little trio for you. Kurt Warner at 2:40, Mark Grody at 4, Jalen Johnson at 5. This is what you want. Keep it on 670 The Score all day. If you are listening on your way to work, maybe on the Odyssey app while you're at work, or you can always listen to the podcast versions of everything on the Odyssey app as well if your boss is a stickler. All right, so Lawrence Holmes, Olin Krutz, immediate reaction following the Bears' loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Check it out here on 670 The Score.
And we are going to talk Chicago sports with the Bears, making for a horrible Sunday for everybody. 19-13 is the final against the Vikings. We are going to take your phone calls. We are going to take your text messages. And they go to the same place. 312-644-6767 is the number. Olin, what did you think of what you saw?
Just disappointed. Came in with a lot of hope that this team was moving in the right direction, that our quarterback and our offensive line could handle what Brian Flores was going to send at them, that we would have a good plan to go up against the Minnesota Vikings. And none of that came out true. Obviously, we lose the turnover differential. Just not the game we wanted to see coming off that big win Thursday night against the Washington Commanders. And Lawrence, you asked a great question in the pregame show. You said, How would they handle winning and success? And it didn't look like they handled it well.
No, it didn't look like they handled it well. And I'd love to know from an actual trained eye, because I probably won't even have a real idea until I go back and watch it. But early on in the game, I felt like the game plan and the game calling was a little bit more conservative than I was expecting on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and I felt like they were going to move the pocket a little bit for Justin Fields, knowing that Brian Flores was going to come after him a little bit, right? So I know they want to run the ball just to try to get him to stop blitzing, to slow down those blitzes a little bit. But I just felt like keeping him in the pocket and trying to max protect everything wasn't the way to go. Now, Kirk Cousins did burn Coach Flews a little bit early on the blitzes, which probably scared him out of the blitz a little bit. But like you're saying, later in the game, the defense had an edge. They were coming after him a little bit. And I hate to get on the defense when they only gave up 13 points.
Right.
You know, six of those points was a fumble recovery for a touchdown when Beijing came in. So defense did play well enough to win. Obviously, if you're looking at just this game and why you lost, right, the turnover battle was huge. The fact that the offense could have moved the ball was huge. But in the bigger picture, Lawrence, the frustrating thing was the hope was coming to this game. We're going to see these young players still playing well, still taking a step. Now, they did run behind Darnell Wright early, and he was dominant early. They lose Nate Davis on that sideline. They got to go to Jatari Carr. They got to bench Cody Whitehair for snaps. Just a lot going on in this game that reminded us this is a young football team that has a lot of improving to do and a lot of proving themselves to do there at Halas Hall.
You were talking about it in the pregame show when we talked to Mark Grody. And Mark Grody had talked about how, you know, there weren't a lot of practice snaps that were being taken by the quote-unquote backup center. And it's so interesting to me that you could live in a space where you're not doing everything possible to be prepared to play. And forget about, like, all the work that goes into preparing for a guy like Brian Flores. The simplicity of ball security and getting the ball to the quarterback seem to be lost in what's happened over the last 10 days.
Yeah, and they talked about wet ball Wednesday, right? So they are concentrating, I guess, on ball security, but I just found that an interesting comment to make that you know, the backup center did go away from snapping the ball. So when Grody said that today, obviously as a former center, I was a little, I guess you would say, taken aback by it, right? I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. He should have at least be snapping to Bayesian pre-practice,
absolutely,
right? And working on these things that we have to work on, and getting some work throughout practice, maybe in the late week 2-minute drill where the offense goes against the defense and it's live there. But like you're saying, Lawrence, but look, man, Cody Whitehair is, this goes back to the plan, right? You have to always go back to the plan and who planned for him to be a center. You have two staffs now, now three coaching staffs decided that Cody Whitehair wasn't a center, right? So your early plan in the year, to me, is just fascinating that, oh, but we're going to be the ones that move Cody to center, right? Cody is a good left guard, solid NFL left guard, plays at a pretty high level there at left guard, but we're going to move him all around. And to me, you're just kind of playing with fire there.
We're going to be here until 5 o'clock. We're going to take your phone calls and your text messages, 312-644-6767. I imagine some people are making it to their car right now. The folks that were watching it at home are furious and frustrated. And Olin's right. This was the game where if you had any sort of thought of getting yourself back into contention inside of the NFC North or just the NFC playoff picture, this was a game that you had to win. And you had everything looking your way. You had extra time to prepare and to rest and to get injured players back on the field, and a bunch of those players got back on the field and it seemed to make a difference defensively for the Bears in this game. You had momentum, the idea of you won a game and you knew what that felt like. You were the healthier team because their star player was not available in this game, and that's the performance that you got. Not great. Not great at all.
No. Not at all, Lawrence. If you go back to the first play of the game, right, after the first kickoff return by Velus Jones, who had a pretty good return there, you know, I'm just watching it, Lawrence, and I'm thinking you're an empty formation. Like, this isn't Aaron Rodgers, right? You're an empty formation, and Woonam comes free and gets a sack. And obviously, that's Justin Fields' guy. Like, he has to know they brought too many guys for the offensive line to pick up, right? Like, he has to know that. But it just seems to me, again, you're trying to fit him into Aaron Rodgers' offense. Like, if you're the OC and I'm the OC, if I have Aaron Rodgers and you're blitzing me, I say, good, I spread the field and I pick you apart, right? But if I have Justin Fields, I'm going to be a little more creative with trying to get him out of the pocket, running the ball behind Darnell Wright early. But then the first play of the game, you put him in empty where he has to read the defense, he has to read the blitz, and now he's hit on the first play of the game and he misses the blitz. I mean, it's just I don't know. And that falls on both of them. I'm not taking the blame off Justin Fields. He has to know that that extra guy is coming. He has to get the ball out. But it's just kind of, to me, to put him in that situation that early, it's just an interesting decision to me.
It is. And there's a lot that we will discuss here on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. But let's get to some phone calls to start things off. 312-644-6767. We are live and local. Let's start with Chris in Evanston. Hey, Chris, you're on the score.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, you guys been hearing me say it now for 3 years, but we're in a different position right now. I mean, this is not some vaunted defense. It's just a defense that blitz. And a quarterback's got to figure out, like Olin just said, where is the pressure coming from? He has a responsibility. I don't hear any other quarterback get more excuses made in 3 years for why he's not successful. I'm just tired of watching it. I watched Oregon, Washington last night with my guy Penix. I mean, we got the future of the franchise on the line. This is the guy we're going to stick with. This is the guy we're going to stick with. Get rid of him now. I didn't see nothing today that makes me believe, ooh, we lit up the worst defense in the NFC last week. And when I watched the all 12, he's throwing balls after the receiver is already on the hitch route, and then the receiver goes for 150 yards after the catch. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we holding on to this guy for?
I appreciate the phone call. If you were watching the All 12, then you were watching the Canadian Football League. So I mean, I don't know what CFL team is in Chicago, but I want to get their jersey if they're here.
Yeah. Well, and to his point, Lawrence, I mean, today was a step back for Justin Fields, right? And
no
we
doubt.
Talked about in the pregame. We talked about this is what happens in the NFL, man. You have one, two really good games, and then the system you have to prove yourself against, the one you struggle the most against, the defensive coordinator that you have to prove to everybody you can beat this kind of defense. All of a sudden, that guy shows up, man. But that's why the NFL is great. And Justin Fields had a chance today. Now, it wasn't all on him, right? The offensive line, we talked about air traffic controller in the pregame show. The offensive line struggled organizing the blitz and picking it up, as you saw, with running backs on big guys. That's not supposed to happen, and that means somewhere, somehow, the communication got messed up.
You would think that Danielle Hunter would be a guy that you would circle and mm-hmm. say, we cannot have just a running back block this guy. What happens on a play like that? Is that something not getting relayed out to Darnell Wright in that situation?
Yeah, it sure looked like it. It looked to me like they slid the line late. Like they had one protection on, and then they tried to redirect it right at the snap, which it happens sometimes, but that goes back again to not playing a lot of center and not knowing the timing of, okay, now I can make a call. Now I better let it go. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I made that mistake many a times, right? You're out there trying to make a play as a center. You're out there also as a center trying to be a multiplier and get your offense in the best position to execute a play. But you just have to realize you have a young rookie right tackle. He may not get the call. You have a new right guard. So Nate Davis is not there. So does Jatari Carter. Now you have to make the call. Jatari Carter has to relay the call to a rookie right tackle. He has to change the protection on the run. It's just things like that, Lawrence, that go on within the snap. It's not an excuse. It's what happens. And they do have to get that right. But that's how something like that happens in that situation.
Let's go out to Steven, who's calling us. Hey, Steven, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. What a disappointing, utter, incompetent performance by the Bears and the entire coaching staff. And, you know, they had 11 days to prepare for this game. And yet, throughout the game, the Bears' offensive line couldn't hold up against the Vikings blitz, you know, with 6 and 7 man passing fronts. And then they didn't even adjust to it very well in the game. And watching Danielle Hunter just walk past Darnell Wright and just slam Fields, that which caused that wrist injury, probably was the sign that maybe Fields' time in Chicago is over, and probably the end of the 2023 season as well, because this team is not going anywhere with Tyson Bagent as a quarterback. He did rally, but that interception was severely underthrown, which kind of shows his limitations. So I hope, you know, the Bears fans are probably going to stop saying that he's the answer or any of that kind of nonsense moving forward. And, you know, both Eberflus and Getsy, unfortunately, just can't seem to build upon any sort of a success as the coaches. And this is more on the coaches than the players in regards to the today's loss, in my opinion. And I'm done with both of them because they haven't proven anything, and they can't be consistently trusted to lead this organization. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Steven. Olin, what do you think of what you hear from Steven when he's talking about how the coaching staff deserves a big brunt of the blame for this game?
Yeah, Steven is right on some points and wrong on others, right? When you listen to him talk about Danielle Hunter walking past Wright, I think that was actually a three-man rush, and it was after a while when Justin Fields is rolling around in that pocket.
Yep.
And then as far as Bagent goes, he got hit on that ball. That's why he didn't get it out there. But as far as the coaching staff goes, today was just disappointing all around, right, Lawrence? Like we talked about, how do you handle winning? You heard Robert Smith, the great running back from the Minnesota Vikings before and at Ohio State, talking about details. When teams are this close, it's all about details. And really, you could say, if you look at the stats and the way the teams played and moved the ball, you could say the Bears outplayed the Minnesota Vikings, but the takeaways killed them, right? And that's why the Minnesota Vikings were losing all the games they were leading, the leading takeaways. Today, they win the takeaway battle. It does fall on the coaching staff to get the team ready. Lawrence, you said, and I'll keep repeating this, you said, how are they going to handle winning? And when you ask that question, it's the coaching staff that has to set the tempo in the building, set the standard, and let the team know immediately that the win against the Washington Commanders is over, and all that feel good that we were going through is out the door, and we got to beat the Minnesota Vikings.
So we're waiting for word from the locker room, and I don't expect that we'll get a bigger update than the one that we got during the game. Justin Fields' throwing hand, so his right hand, it was the reason that he was out. And, I mean, I hate to put an injury on a player, but what you said, Olin, where we're talking about health, three-man rush on that play, five-man protection, and you hold the ball for so long that then you get stuck in a situation where you don't accept the sack and you're trying to throw the ball out of bounds, and it puts you in a precarious position and you end up hurting your hand. When a player doesn't return, that's always a bad sign. When they go from questionable to out inside of a game, that's always a bad sign. My hope is that this was just a precaution and they're going to find out that Justin Fields is okay, but it doesn't seem like that is the case.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. And it looked like that right wrist or whatever he had hurt there. I don't want to take any guesses, but it looked like it was a pretty bad injury just by the look on his face, right? And they also lose their right guard doesn't come back in the game, right? So two of the guys that we gave a lot of credit to last week for the Bears playing well and looking like we didn't expect them to look, they go out of the game. You know, it's the situation that even though they play bad all game, the situation that the backup quarterback was in, that's the situation we want to see Justin Fields in, right? Trying to win the game late in the game and drive the team down even after playing bad all game. So it's too bad we don't get to see him because he gets injured there. And like you're saying, probably takes an unnecessary hit there in the pocket.
That's a, you know what? That is a very, very, I like the diplomatic way that you said that, Olin. That is, I'm going to use that this week. Alex is out in Lakeview. Hey, Alex, you're on the score.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
My biggest issue, I'm doing well, thank you. But my biggest issue here was, right away when Fields was out there playing, they were run heavy, and we're out of our top backs. And I know Dante Foreman's a great guy. He's a great back. But but you run heavy and then you get Batchen in there, and then they change to a pass offense. I would have loved to see what that would have done. However, that makes me see maybe the coaching has trust issues with Fields. I have no idea what's going on there, but it seems very odd to me that they would change up their play calling so vividly in that second half.
I don't know about you, Olin, but it doesn't seem that strange to me where you have a rookie quarterback who's taking a major leap in the type of players that he's going up against. I feel like to get him comfortable, you have to rely on a run game to just get him into the game and make it so that he doesn't feel like he has to do it all by himself. Am I off base on that?
No, I know what the caller is saying. They came out and they were having success with the run, right? So Getsy kind of stuck with it and was trying to stay with the run and then take shots off of the play action pass. I mean, the only problem I had today was the fact that Lawrence, I was texting you during the game. I was like, have they moved the pocket yet? Right?
And they hadn't.
And I don't know. And I don't know if they did today. Like, I didn't see a sprint. I didn't see much of a boot. So their plan wasn't to move the pocket, to change the aiming point of the defensive line, of the blitzes. And it doesn't mean you do that on every play, right? It doesn't mean you boot and sprint, but it does mean you do it, right? It does mean you do move the launching point so the defense can't just run at one spot. And you know, with the Vikings, it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you, I'm sure you remember, but Jim Johnson, the old defense coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Come get
who
you.
Used to love to blitz. Yeah, and they would green dog, which means if their guy blocked, they would come get you. That means you can't have enough guys in the block, right? So it reminds me of that. So even if you go a 7-8-man protection, eventually you're going to be outnumbered. Eventually you're going to have a lot of one-on-ones, especially after you lose Nate Davis. That was the only part of the plan that I didn't like.
This is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. I'm Lawrence Holmes sitting in for Mully. Olin Krutz is here. We've got a lot to discuss, and we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 312-644-6767. You can also text the show if you want. And you can watch on Twitch. The show is on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Let's go out to Jason, who's in Plainfield. Hey, Jason, you're on the score.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
We were at the game today, and it just we're very lackluster. They didn't look like they were pushing very hard in defense offense, kind of sitting back a little bit. I'd like to see a little more, like, aggression, right? They didn't go very hard. What do you guys think about that?
So, were they aggressive enough is kind of the question here. And I guess you probably have to define what that means. What would it mean to you, Olin, and did you see enough of it?
I guess what he means is the effort that the players are putting forth, right? And I didn't see that. I'd have to disagree with Jason there. I thought the execution wasn't there. I thought... you know, we weren't picking up the blitzes. We weren't getting the ball out. I thought we weren't recognizing fronts on offense, right? On the offensive side of the ball I'm talking about. And then on defense, obviously pressure continues to be a problem from the front four. But I thought, unlike maybe the Green Bay game when the players said they didn't feel the energy, I thought there was energy in the stadium. And I thought they were trying to get after it and win this game. It just seemed like they couldn't make the play. They had to make it, and we couldn't get our best players like DJ Moore involved in a game. Like, there's always guys, right? If you're a coach, Lawrence, you have names on your play calling sheet, and I'm sure even on defense you do, and they're your energy starters, right? They're your guys who get your team going, that you know on the sideline when the team sees this guy make a play, it gets all the juice flowing. So just didn't seem like they could get those guys the ball.
Before the game, you talked about how we could see Moore one-on-one with Murphy, that they might not have to bracket him, that they could use some one-on-one situations and man coverage stuff with Murphy. Do you think that he did an effective job of taking Moore out of the game?
Yeah, I thought that he did, obviously, just by his numbers, right, while Justin Fields was in the game. I know when Bajan came in, that he hit him a couple more times, and he got his numbers up a little bit. But I do think that, you know, Murphy is a good cornerback, as we all saw, right? And we knew that coming into the game, that they probably felt like they had a good matchup against Moore if they wanted to do what the Commanders did in the second half of last week's game that you know, Fuller was right there for that interception or tip ball. So if they want to do that, they could also be right there. And they would think, and they think Murphy is better than Fuller, so they think they got a better shot. And that proved to be true, although a few times, Lawrence, I don't know what you thought, but I thought, even though it looks like Moore's covered, let's get him the ball anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that Eberflus said. I actually wrote it down where he came out at halftime and talked with the reporter at halftime and said that they have to get the ball to DJ Moore, that they have to take opportunities to try to get the ball to DJ Moore. So, I mean, they understood what type of game he had last week and that he should probably, you know, be a force in this game, but you have to be very careful about that. And I wrote it down. It happened at 147. Eberflus said they have to force DJ Moore into the action. That was the quote from the sideline reporter about trying to get DJ Moore involved. They were not able to do that, and they were not able to do a lot of things on offense for myriad reasons.
Olin Krutz, Lawrence Holmes on the post-game show every single Bears game. When we get followed by the post-game. Usually it's Mully, Olin, and Patrick Manley. They do a great job in the post-game. But Lawrence Holmes did a fantastic job filling in, just asking some really, really good questions to Olin Krutz. I think that was the best. That was my favorite part about the post-game. You know, it's one thing for us to come on here and, you know, give our opinions on what we're seeing from the Chicago Bears. That's without question. But to be able to get analysis from Olin Krutz, a guy who not only played the game at a super high level, but is also passionate about this Bears team. Just a fantastic job by Lawrence Holmes today. So I'm glad you guys were able to enjoy that. There was another cut that I was listening to specifically. We'll play it in a little bit next hour. Olin Krutz talking about why Cody Whitehair and Lucas Patrick were struggling at the center position. And I thought that was just fantastic stuff because we all saw it firsthand. I mean, the fact that, you know, 40% of the snaps, what it seemed like, were off center for Justin Fields or Tyson Bagent to secure. To be able to hear Olin Krutz explain it, it's one thing for me to do it. All I'm going to say is Cody Whitehair sucks. I can't do it as eloquently as Olin Krutz can. And we'll play that for you in just a little bit. But, you know, they were mentioning DJ Moore right there. And again, there's so many areas to be frustrated in. And that's what I've been asking you. You know, what are you frustrated about? What are you most frustrated about? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. Live and local here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And it's not a game, Illinois.com. But curious about your frustration level with the Chicago Bears team. Because you can point to the DJ Moore stuff. That was extremely frustrating in the first half. To look in the box score and see, I know he had two targets, but to see the one catch, it was frustrating. Because you're saying to yourself, like, dude, what is going on here? Just get this guy the ball. That was frustrating. Dante Foreman not getting the ball a ton. That's been frustrating me since the beginning of the season. But I feel like, you know, in this game in particular, I just feel like he should have had more opportunities. He proved that he deserved to get a couple more shots, more than 15. And I understand you're trying to spread out the ball with Darrington Evans, who came in and was a serviceable backup. But Dante Foreman, that bothered me. Again, there's a lot of levels of frustration there. Luke Getsy in the play calling in certain moments. Head scratching. And that was frustrating because the coaching staff showed that they were competent last year, making adjustments at halftime, changing the game plan for Justin Fields so that it is more run heavy. They did these things. So I was giving them the benefit of the doubt this year, saying, oh, okay, well, I can see where they would make adjustments again. I could see, you know, they've proven it. Let's give them the opportunity to do so. And then you see it and you're just like, it was almost like you were reminded that there were regular human beings calling these calls. There's not some algorithm that crunches a number and then pops out the best possible play in that moment. No, there's a human being saying to himself and then the team, this is what I think we should be running in this moment. It's a lot of pressure. But we get to scrutinize it because that's your job. You get paid a lot of money to make the right decisions. Luke Getsy, you get paid a lot of money so that on second and one with your undrafted quarterback, second and one, you probably should give the ball to Deontay Foreman. Why? Because you threw it to DJ Moore. Darnell Mooney couldn't hold a block the same way that Chase Claypool couldn't. But actually, he couldn't find the guy to block on that play, on that pass to DJ Moore. DJ Moore gets tackled for the loss, and on third and fourth down, you still don't run the ball. Head-scratching moments. Those are the ones that I'm talking about. So a lot of levels of frustration here. And I'm curious, what was that for you? 312-644-6767. Text lines. I mean, there was somebody on here earlier about an hour ago. They must have sent in like 50 text messages because I was coming down hard on Justin Fields. Like, there is still, understandably so, a contingent of people that still believe in Justin Fields and his ability to operate this offense and lead this team not only to the playoffs, but to a championship. Like, they still feel that way. He was 6-for-10 for 60 yards in the first half. What? That's like, who? How can you point to those numbers and be like, yeah, that's the guy that I believe in? Oh, it's not him. It's the offensive line. It's not him. It's the guys he's throwing to. It's not him. It's the back play calling. No quarterback will be good in this system. Zero. I mean, damn. So Justin Fields gets no part of that blame pie? Zero? I'm the idiot? And he poses the question. It was from the 630. He poses the question. He's like, oh, so 600 yards and 8 touchdowns didn't mean anything, huh? And I was like, well, it was the fact that it was against 2 bad teams. And a large portion of the yards that Justin Fields had weren't in the air. They were a yak by DJ Moore. Again, it was just, it just blew my mind. And if anything, that contributes to my argument about Justin Fields and that there's a huge level of inconsistency that exists. The only thing that he's consistent about is that he's inconsistent. It should not have shocked you today that Justin Fields had a subpar game today. I know what you wanted. You wanted Justin Fields to perform well. So did I. Check my text messages to Lawrence Holmes. I literally sent him crying emojis and said, damn, I just wanted him to be good today. But the fact that he regressed, or not regressed, the fact that he was who he was, a guy that, you know, sometimes he's going to have a good game and sometimes he's going to have a bad game. But again, I'm curious of what your frustration level is. What are you frustrated about? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Don out in Chicago. So, Don, what are you most frustrated about when it comes to this Bears team?
Where's the emotion? Where's the heart? Where's the frustration? Show it. Get mad. Get upset. Get pissed off. Right?
Yeah.
Ditka days. Right? Sometimes you got to yell at a player. Sometimes you got to throw your headset down on the ground or whatever. You know, like sometimes you have to do that, right? Because you're upset because the passion's there. I just don't see the passion in like Eberflus. I just don't see it.
Like, what would that look like to you then, Don? I mean, right? Like, it's one thing to say you want to see passion, but what does that look like?
It looks like, well, passion might equal wins, I suppose, because you're just so dedicated. I you say, what does it look like? Again, I was just saying, like, maybe, again, throwing things around. I know that's not, like, you know, like the best way of doing things, but you get upset. You instead of telling everybody every time you get the questions, oh, we're almost there, we're almost there, say, no, we messed up. No. This is not right. Don't come up there every time with the same over and over answer. Come in there sometimes and be disappointed, right? Have it, you know, don't take the questions lightly. Take them hard, right? Be upset.
That's a great point, Don. And I got to be honest, it was a couple weeks ago that Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley were on the post game. And, oh, we got it. Oh, I love it. I listen to this, Don, and then we'll discuss right after this. Listen to this cut of Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley talking about exactly what you're talking about, which is the fact that no one's coming out and saying that the team sucks. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Yeah. You don't have that multiplier quarterback. How long it takes to learn how to win in the NFL, to learn how to get the guys, everyone moving in the right direction. It takes a long time. When you look at this roster, Pat, you tell me who you think that is that circled the wagons this week.
There's nobody, and it should be number one. And I was thinking about, I went back and looked during the last break, in 05, it made me think about, you were talking about leadership and taking ownership of your team. Remember when Mike Brown said, I think he said, we're just terrible. It's like we suck. You know, we started 1-3 that year in 05, and that's when we made the change. We went on to win 7 games in a row. But I remember reading that and hearing about that because I didn't hear him say it. Mm-hmm. And I looked, and you know, I'm like, whoa, he's right. He actually said it.
And it was funny because it didn't offend you because he was right.
Right, exactly.
You heard that, Don? That's exactly what you're talking about.
Pretty much. Yeah, like get offended once in a while.
Or just have somebody on the team call a spade a spade.
Yes.
Hey, we need better play from the quarterback. Like DJ Moore can't say it. He just got there. Right? But someone stepping up and being like, hey, we all got to play better. Yeah, we can come down on Justin, but everybody. We all as a unit collectively haven't been playing well. And that could come from the coach too. Who would you rather that come from, Don? Would you rather it come from Eberflus or would you rather it come from one of the players?
Well, in all honesty, both. But I guess it starts at the top. I'd like to see Eberflus, you know, bite the ball and say, hey, we kind of suck right now. Or however he wants to say it. You know, I'm not going to put words in anybody's mouth. But I guess it comes from the top. But, man, I can't see if you're a player in the organization and it's going this way. Don't you feel compelled to say something? I don't know. You know, like, and then I don't know who wants to come. If this is the way it goes, who's going to want to come play for the team? You know what I mean? Like, if this is, and then I can go all the McCaskies and all that stuff. Like I almost just want to see, I just got to hit the reset button almost. I hate to say that, but that's the way I feel.
Yeah, and I don't think that, Don, necessarily it's hitting the reset button. It's just wanting something different, right? Just wanting something different. And I think that's okay. We want continued success for the Chicago Bears, and that's all you're doing. And my theme all day has been to be greedy, to want more, to see a stat line that says 6-for-10 for 60 yards with a 35 QBR and just say to yourself, this just isn't good enough, and it's okay for me to go look somewhere else. You're not beholden to Justin Fields. And again, it's no knock at Justin Fields. He's a good quarterback. But that's not what I want. I don't want a good quarterback. I want to go to the playoffs. Don't you guys want to win a playoff game? I do. I want, as a fan, I want to see a playoff win. I wouldn't mind getting to the Super Bowl again. That was fun, even though the Bears lost. Watching Devin Hester return that first kickoff for a tutty, that was like one of my sports highlight moments of my life. So, yeah, all I'm saying is I want something different. I want to be greedy with what I want, and I think that's okay. And I want to play you guys a little bit more audio from the post game. They did a fantastic job, did Lawrence Holmes and Olin Krutz. We're going to get some more of that on the other side. But we're also taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Another texter from the 630 said, frustrated with the offensive line. Listen, there's a lot of reasons to be frustrated. And I want to hear what yours are. 312-644-6767, your phone calls, and some more post-game audio in the 3 o'clock hour coming up. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.